I'm Susanna Hewson from HSF's Head Office Advisory Team, and welcome to Reporting for Duties. Reporting for Duties is our limited podcast series aiming to provide bite-sized insights on corporate reporting and ESG. In this episode, we have Tim Stutt and Anna Cronio reporting for duty, and our topic for discussion is all things verification. Before we get into it, though, I would first like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from which we are broadcasting today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. So that now that companies are getting to grips with the legislation, their minds are turning to what they need to say and how they're going to substantiate it. So Tim and Anna, what are we seeing and what are your thoughts?
My first thought is maybe we should apologise to our listeners, because I think the subject for this podcast is probably going to be a bit triggering for those who had corporate law backgrounds and have memories of doing really complex verification exercises on different transactions. That's my first thought. My second thought is, actually, verification is going to be a really important area in terms of the new regime. At the end of the day, the content which companies will be disclosing, it is going to be subject to assurance. It is going to be the subject of director declarations. And from both of those viewpoints, the process to test the integrity of the information and verify it will be critical.
So in terms of the process then, it's important to think about what sort of verification approach we'd like to take, whether that'll be a manual approach, whether it'll have sort of electronic aspects to it. We're seeing some quite sophisticated verification tools, and I'm sure that our listeners have probably used some of these soft tools before in different contexts, but some of the tools we're seeing that are electronic are actually quite good, because you can set the document up, you can box it up and allocate source documents and particular parts of source documents all within the program. If the report changes version to version, it'll help track that. And so you're not necessarily having to reinvent the wheel every time you do a new version of your report as well. So it's quite sophisticated, and I think will definitely be something to consider for the companies that have that desire to make this quite a sophisticated process. But that's not to say you have to use those tools. I think we'll definitely see some more older school verification processes as well. That might include things like a certification process. So people who are responsible for certain sections might give some sort of assurance, I don't want to actually use that word, maybe certification, in terms of the content and what the sources are. Regardless of which approach you take, I think when developing content, what will make it easier later is actually tracking the sources of particular statements, particularly those that are maybe the riskier statements, the forward-looking information, and thinking about what is the underlying source here, and making sure that it is a primary sort of documents, such as a board paper or a management paper, as opposed to linking it to last year's climate report.
The other thing which we're also expecting to see, I don't think we've seen it so much yet, but we are expecting to see it, is the use of management representation letters. So in the same way that management reps are given in relation to the financial reporting, we are expecting that boards would get a lot of comfort from, and in some cases we'll be asking for management reps in relation to the climate related reporting as well, or in some cases broader sustainability reporting where companies are doing broader sustainability reporting exercises. So that's probably another area which goes to this overarching verification and integrity checking process.
The other piece we're doing a little bit of thinking about, and it's coming up in the context of the gap analysis exercises we're doing, which is the subject of another podcast, but it's around, as part of the gap analysis, thinking about what are the underlying documents that a company might be relying on to assist with satisfying each of the requirements. So it might be things like the charters, board papers, board minutes, management papers, working committee papers, those sorts of things. So thinking about that at the same time early on can be quite helpful as well.
So I think that the bite-sized insight is that companies need to be thinking about both the content and process of verification now. Thanks for joining us. This was Tim Stutt, Anna Cronio, and Susanna Hewson reporting for Duty.
You have been listening to a podcast brought to you by Herbert Smith Freehills. For more episodes, please go to our channel on iTunes, Spotify, or SoundCloud. And visit our website, herbertsmithfreehills.com, for more insights relevant to your business.